The American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, is meeting in Washington, D.C. this week for its States and Nation Policy Summit and to craft and discuss its legislative agenda for the coming year. We will talk with a guest who is in D.C. right now monitoring the ALEC Summit and will tell us what is on ALEC's slate for 2014. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, December 5th. And we will welcome your input, your questions and views regarding ALEC and how it crafts model legislation for mainly Republican lawmakers to introduce in their own state capitals, and your reaction to the issues that ALEC wants to pursue in the coming year. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Lisa Graves is the Executive Director of the Center for Media and Democracy. She's served as a senior advisor in all three branches of the federal government and other posts, including as Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Office of Legal Policy at the U.S. Department of Justice. She has also worked as an adjunct law professor at one of the top law schools in the country. And Lisa Graves joins us from Washington, D.C. You're out there, Lisa, to watchdog on ALEC?
Yes, I am. I am out here with part of my team from Madison, and we're here to help keep an eye on what ALEC is up to and to report back to the folks in Wisconsin and across the country about ALEC's agenda.
Well, I misspoke earlier when I said that Senator Ron Johnson and U.S. Representative Paul Ryan were going to address the group today. I just misread that. It was yesterday that they addressed the group. Why are they addressing this group?
Well, this is an organization that bills itself as a bipartisan, nonpartisan group of legislators. When we did our analysis, when we launched ALECExposed.org, 2 years ago, we discovered that 103 out of 104 of ALEC's top legislative leaders are Republicans. And so despite the rhetoric, ALEC is largely a Republican and indeed a more far-right Republican organization than it bills itself. And so it frequently invites legislators from the federal and state level to come speak. And so Ron Johnson and Paul Ryan were there yesterday, and Ted Cruz is scheduled to address ALEC at 12:30 today.
All right. So what is did you hear what Senator Johnson or Representative Ryan had to say?
Well, one of the interesting things that came out of the Ron Johnson remarks, we weren't in the room, actually, because ALEC has repeatedly refused to allow the Center for Media Democracy or its freelance reporters to get credentials. But what we heard from other reporters in the room was that Ron Johnson was talking about more of his denying that the climate changes that are underway are man-made, or that, you know, our pollution is contributing to climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, so that was his part of his speech. And Paul Ryan, of course, was talking about the ongoing budget issues, and people from inside the room obviously were tweeting that they wished that he were vice president.
And is Senator Ted Cruz, going to talk about the Affordable Care Act by any chance?
That's what we assume, that will be the focus of his remarks, since he's been so controversial and out front on that issue, nearly shutting down the United States government. Ted Cruz actually has been involved in this issue for longer than that. Before he became a United States senator, he was working with one of the think tanks that is part of ALEC, what we have dubbed the think tanks, but one of the think tanks out of Texas that's part of ALEC, and he helped pen one of the major ALEC bills that has been circulated just towards the implementation of the Affordable Care Act provisions. And so he's got a history not just on those issues, but also in aiding this legislative agenda at the state level.
I looked on ALEC's website, and ALEC refers to itself as the nation's largest nonpartisan voluntary membership organization of state legislators. which advances limited government, free markets, and federalism through a partnership between the public and private sector. So would you agree with that description?
I would not agree with that description. Actually, some of ALEC's members that they, when they talk about themselves as being bipartisan, are not even willing members. Over in the Iowa State House, all of the legislators have their dues paid for them by the Iowa taxpayers through the rule of the ruling Republicans in Iowa, and they're dragooned into membership in ALEC against their will. Some of them have asked for their money back to taxpayers, and so some actually aren't even voluntary. But besides that, when ALEC describes itself as a partnership with the private sector, I think those words in some ways are a euphemism for what's actually going on. What we discovered in our investigation, and which was, to me, perhaps the most shocking thing about ALEC, is that at ALEC task force meetings, where the press and public are excluded, corporate lobbyists vote as equals with our elected representatives, our elected senators and representatives from Wisconsin, on bills to change our rights. They vote as equals. The private sector votes. They actually vote. The lawmakers vote. If the bill gets the approval of both the private sector, which are almost entirely corporate lobbyists in the room, and the legislators, then the bill goes through to the ALEC board to become an ALEC national agenda item. And the special interest groups and lawmakers and corporations vote as equals on those bills before they're introduced in our state house in many instances. And we can document a number of bills in Wisconsin that were introduced after they were approved through this process, where corporations had a secret vote. Some of those bills were rammed through the Wisconsin legislature and other legislatures in the past few years without really much input from the public, and sometimes without even allowing any amendment to change even a comma in those bills that were already pre-voted on by corporations. I think that's a subversion of the democratic process.
Can you give us an example of a bill in Wisconsin that was an ALEC bill?
Well, one of the bills that that we caught early on was the very first bill that was signed into law by Scott Walker. It was a tort reform bill, which is a bill to address the rights of people who are injured. But in fact, it's a bill to make it harder for people who are injured to recover fully for their damages if they're harmed by a corporate product or practice. That bill, Scott Walker's office was asked if that bill was an ALEC bill or related to an ALEC bill early in 2011. And his office denied it flatly. Meanwhile, through our open records request, after that bill passed, we discovered that ALEC was telling lawmakers that that bill was theirs. It included many provisions of their bills, that the lawmakers should pass it, that they praised the passage of it specifically, which we consider to be lobbying. ALEC didn't report that it was lobbying. It was only months after the fact that that bill became law that we learned of ALEC's specific role. And it was only months after that that we actually launched ALEC Exposed and could compare the bills, the ALEC bills that were passed by these corporations with lawmakers, to the ones that were introduced in the State House. We've actually documented in Wisconsin numerous bills that have ALEC ties, including a number of provisions that are related to the controversial labor issues in 2011 and 2012, bills to make it harder for Wisconsinites to vote, the so-called voter ID or restricted voter ID provisions, echo ALEC's agenda. One bill that I think is particularly pernicious, although there are many, was a bill that was proposed by two legislators from the suburbs outside Milwaukee to bar Wisconsinites from suing if their parent or spouse or loved one was killed or injured by a drug that was approved by the FDA unless they could prove fraud by that company. And so, in essence, every year, every week, there are drugs recalled because the process for drug approval in this country is so flawed. People die, or they're injured, or their reproductive capacity is lost as a result of some of these pharmaceuticals. And these representatives, ALEC members, were pushing forward a bill that didn't pass, but that was a core ALEC bill to make it harder for Americans to sue if their loved ones are killed or injured by a drug that's gone wrong.
Who are the members of ALEC from Wisconsin? Do we know?
Yes, we do. In Wisconsin, the most prominent member of ALEC currently is Senator Leah Vukmir. She's the treasurer of the group, and actually just this week she's been promoted within ALEC to the second vice chair, which means in a couple of years, if she stays on this path, she'll be the leader of ALEC from the standpoint of the legislative members, not the leader of ALEC from the standpoint of the corporate members. but the board, the leader of the board of ALEC.
So how does one become a member of ALEC? I remember some time ago, now U.S. Representative Mark Pocan, a Democrat, was a member in part to just check out the organization.
That's right. Representative Pocan, who's now in Congress, has spoken and written extensively about ALEC. He was very concerned about the organization. He paid the $50 dues that ALEC requires of lawmakers to become a member. In some ways, those dues for membership of lawmakers is really window dressing, because corporations pay thousands of dollars to become members of ALEC. And so while a legislator will pay $50 a session, to be a member of a corporation will pay between $2,500 and $10,000 or more for a seat and a vote on one of the ALEC task forces. Some of these corporations pay additional amounts to sponsor workshops on issues that relate to, you know, changing our laws about the environment or privatizing education or other issues. We know that those workshops come at a fee of $20,000 to $50,000 or more, depending on the circumstances. And so we really, I think, documented, and certainly Representative Pocan has thoroughly documented how ALEC is truly a pay-to-play operation. He actually describes it as a dating service for corporate lobbyists and wayward lawmakers.
We will talk about the ALEC legislative agenda for 2014 coming up in just a bit, and we'll welcome your questions and your reactions. The American Legislative Exchange Council is meeting this week in Washington, D.C., holding its State and Nation Policy Summit. Our guest, Lisa Graves, who is the executive director of the Center for Media and Democracy, is out there monitoring ALEC and this summit, and is here to talk with us about what she calls the extreme legislative agenda of ALEC for 2014. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The American Legislative Exchange Council is meeting this week in Washington, D.C. for its States and Nation Policy Summit and to craft its legislative agenda for the coming year. We are talking with Lisa Graves, the executive director of the Center for Media and Democracy, about ALEC's legislative agenda. And we're welcoming your thoughts, questions, and reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Do you think that there's anything wrong with an organization like this, which is business and politicians, state lawmakers from all over the country, including Wisconsin? It drafts model legislation that then is introduced in state houses across the country, including, as our guest has mentioned, several bills that have passed in Wisconsin coming from ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. Is there anything wrong with this? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Eric on Facebook says that you could describe ALEC as just presenting common sense legislation from a conservative think tank. I guess saying there's nothing really wrong with this. This is, you know, yes, it's conservative legislation, but a big deal, I think, Lisa Graves. What's the big deal?
Well, first of all, I think it's extraordinary that corporations are voting as equals with our elected officials behind closed doors through these ALEC meetings. In fact, The Guardian reported this week that ALEC had proposed to legislators that they take the legislative leaders take an oath to, quote, put ALEC first, to put ALEC, quote, first. That would be their duty. The board ultimately didn't accept that proposal from ALEC. Leah Vukmir said that it was not necessary. I think that's perhaps because in some instances these lawmakers do already put ALEC first. Why memorialize that? I think that when you have out-of-state corporations, companies that are foreign companies that are sitting around a closed-door room actually voting as equals with our lawmakers before those bills are introduced. It's really extraordinary. This isn't just lobbying. This is a different kind of pact. And in many instances, those lawmakers come back to our legislature basically almost like super lobbyists for these corporate interests. Corporations have certainly a right or privilege to weigh in on legislation. They can do so through the normal democratic process like ordinary citizens do. They can testify before the state legislature. They can present testimony before the state legislature. They have plenty of opportunities to throw their voice or have their voice heard loudly through their through traditional vehicles where lobbying is disclosed so that people can know who's lobbying for or against a bill. They have opportunities just like actual citizens who are supposed to be represented by our elected officials to speak out and be heard in public hearings with the press present, with the public observing the proceedings. That's how the democratic process is supposed to work. Through ALEC, at these task force meetings, bills are amended and debated and voted on by corporations and lawmakers. I can understand why corporations want that kind of special access. I really have a hard time understanding why our elected officials would, in essence, debase their office by giving unelected corporate representatives and special interest groups such a say and equal voice to themselves through ALEC. And beyond that, ALEC has engaged in other really shady behavior. As we've documented and provided to the IRS, ALEC has told the IRS that it engages in zero lobbying. But my organization, the Center for Media Democracy, which publishes PRWatch.org and ALEC-exposed.org, along with Common Cause, the Voters Legislative Transparency Project, and Clergy Voice, in a pleading by Marcus Owens, the former head of the nonprofit section of the IRS, have provided evidence that ALEC is engaged in extensive lobbying. We've actually documented that through open records requests in Wisconsin, Ohio, Arizona, Florida, and other states where we have, you know, concrete evidence of lobbying, while ALEC has reported repeatedly zero, not a penny in lobbying to the IRS. And beyond that, ALEC has also claimed to the IRS that it spends not a penny in a number of its tax filings on trips for lawmakers. Through one open records request, we have 3 years of expenditures from ALEC that are paid for by specific corporations, and those checks are going for trips for specific lawmakers in nearly every state in the country, including Wisconsin. And so we think ALEC has engaged in very shady behavior. We think it's misrepresented itself before the IRS and, in fact, before the states in many instances. It says it doesn't lobby. We know concretely that it does.
We will get to the 2014 ALEC legislative agenda, I think, in our next half hour, but we have limited time before a news break and lots of callers who want to get in on the conversation. So let's go to Cody in Oshkosh. Hi, Cody.
Hi there. I applaud your guests' work. Keep it up. It's fantastic that people are being, this is all being exposed. I kind of wonder what the Republican taxpayers of this state think of this activity. I never hear them be outraged about it. I mean, between this kind of behavior and a conservative Supreme Court, which makes corporations have the same rights as citizens, and that free speech and money are the same thing. I mean, our government is essentially what Marx wrote about 160 years ago. It's just a sham for corporate America. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Cody. I thought Cody was also going to mention that all the bills that the Republican-controlled Wisconsin legislature has done since Governor Walker got into office were ALEC bills. Is he right with that, Lisa?
A significant number of bills that we've tracked in Wisconsin are ALEC bills. In this past legislative session, there were more than 30 that were ALEC bills, including bills related to the privatization of education in this state and means of redirecting our tax dollars out of the public schools into charter schools or, you know, other sorts of vouchers. And we've also documented additional bills in the 2012 and 2011 cycle of the state house. Not all the bills are ALEC bills, but when Governor Walker was sworn in, ALEC basically had a triumvirate in the state. Governor Walker is an ALEC alum. When he was a state legislator, he was active in ALEC and pushed ALEC bills in the state. And at the time that he was sworn in, the Fitzgerald brothers were the leaders of the House and Senate, and they were both active in ALEC. In fact, Scott Fitzgerald at the time was the state legislative leader for ALEC. Robin Voss was also a state legislative leader of ALEC. Others who are have been in his administration have been active in ALEC, and so you had a lot of ALEC influence on policies across the board. Really controversial, extreme policies, in my view, that Scott Walker was pushing and that his allies in the state and Senate were pushing, but not every bill, but a substantial portion. We've documented that on our site, alecexposed.org. There's a full report detailing every single bill that we could identify since 2011, yeah, as well as all the lawmakers and any money that they've received for trips.
In just a minute, because we have news coming up, Jan emails, aren't there liberal special interest groups who also propose legislation for Democrats? We know that labor union and environmentalists have Democrats in their pockets. What about that?
Well, I would suppose that the environmentalists and labor unions would disagree about that. But there are groups that across the political spectrum that produce model legislation, think tanks that analyze things on a nonpartisan basis and make generally available ideas for laws. ALEC is different than them. We took a hard look at organizations across the board to see if any other organization allowed corporations or the equivalent special interest groups to vote as equals with lawmakers. We only found one other organization in the country, and we're in the process of investigating it. It's much smaller than ALEC.
I will have to hold you there for news, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. ALEC, or the American Legislative Exchange Council, is meeting in Washington, D.C. this week. And we are talking with a guest from a watchdog group that is there monitoring what ALEC is up to. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, December 5th. We are talking with Lisa Graves, the Executive Director of the Center for Media and Democracy, about the legislative agenda for 2014 from ALEC. And we haven't even gotten to that yet. We've been talking so much about what ALEC is and its history and its influence. And so I wanted to get to that, Lisa, since that's what we build the program as. What seem to be the priorities on the agenda for ALEC for 2014?
Well, one of the most extraordinary things on ALEC's agenda for this coming session appears to be an assault on solar panels. There's a really amazing story that was published by The Guardian yesterday, part of a series from earlier this week in which ALEC's board documents were disclosed by The Guardian. And those documents show that ALEC wants to make citizens, Americans, who put solar panels on their houses pay a fee to the utility companies for sending energy to the utility companies. And so there's this thing called net metering where citizens in a number of states put solar panels on and they actually don't consume that much energy and they end up sending energy back into the grid. ALEC wants to call those people freeloaders who are somehow taking advantage of the utility companies, these big utility companies, and it wants them to pay up. I think that's really extraordinary. This is sort of the mindset of ALEC. It illustrates how ALEC really is doing the bidding of the big corporations, the utility companies, the big energy companies like Koch Industries, the oil industry, Peabody Coal, and others that have stood by it for so long and really pushing their agenda, not the agenda of ordinary Americans. There are other examples. There's a bill that's been proposed to say that we shouldn't have country of origin labeling, that policy, which is extremely popular with Wisconsinites and Americans across the country, because we want to know where our food comes from, where our goods come from. We have a right to know, I think. They want to bar country of origin labeling. These are sort of extreme measures, but they serve a corporate interest. There are other efforts. There's an effort that's related to some of the oil companies, Chevron, for example, to support the implementation or the potential implementation of Endangered Species Act to try to stop the classification of this lesser prairie chicken, a chicken in the midwestern part of the country whose whose habitat is impacted by drilling operations, and to try to take that on. And beyond that, Alec has a continued assault in numerous ways on any effort to address global warming, putting forth so-called experts who deny climate change, and as Ron Johnson did yesterday, featuring people who are prominent deniers that the climate change is underway or are underway or are man-made, despite the virtual scientific consensus that that it is happening and that our pollution and carbon outputs are contributing to it in a way that puts us at great risk.
Let me add an email from Pat, which I think flows into our discussion right now on the agenda for 2014, the legislative agenda. Pat emails, I've mostly been interested in the school voucher, school choice initiatives, and I learned that it too comes out of the ALEC agenda, along with many other conservative groups. The goal of school choice is actually about the future privatization of education through the voucher program, thus defunding, weakening public education. We are well on the way there in Wisconsin. I would hope that with more education about who is actually making the laws, we could remove those ALEC members from our state legislature and vote for people who have the interests of Wisconsin citizens at heart. What's on the legislative agenda in terms of private or public education, Lisa?
Well, there's a continued effort, as the caller mentions, to push so-called choice and virtual school sort of efforts. We've documented at the Center for Media Democracy how much some of these companies are taking out of our schools and putting in their pockets. There's a company that is known as K-12. It has been part of the ALEC Education Task Force, where for-profit companies, their lobbyists, vote as equals with lawmakers. And lo and behold, there are bills to say that we should have more so-called virtual schools where students are not enrolled in the public schools and are, in essence, enrolled in these online programs. The testing results appear to be, quite poor, certainly not great results. And yet this company, K-12, while most America has been facing a tremendous recession since 2009, its revenue has increased more than 300%. Nearly 90% of its revenue is from tax dollars of Americans. And in fact, in Wisconsin, K-12 has gained a foothold under the watch of Scott Walker and state legislators. K-12's CEO over a 3-year period made nearly $19 million, including a lot of stock in K-12, which reports quarterly earnings on Wall Street. And this is a company that then turns around and advertises across our airwaves to send more money to itself, more of our tax dollars, basically to ourselves, at the expense of our tax dollars. And so it's quite a scheme, in my view, this effort to privatize our public education. It's not really about sending kids to traditional private schools, although those are certainly some of the choices. It's really driven heavily by organizations and companies that want a piece of the pie. Rupert Murdoch has said that education in this country is a $500 billion business, $600 billion a year, and he wants a piece of that pie. A lot of these companies do, and ALEC facilitates that by allowing corporate lobbyists to vote as equals on these bills and then get these bills pushed and made into law in states like Wisconsin.
Yeah, so Pat was saying let's remove those ALEC members from our state legislature. Is it as simple as that to end the influence of ALEC?
Well, my organization doesn't engage in electoral politics, but certainly we know that some organizations have called for the removal of ALEC legislators. Some legislators have actually left ALEC in other states. Nearly 71 left that we knew of in the ALEC documents the Guardian published. Hundreds more either left or lost their seats in the last election cycle. And there are certainly groups that believe that ALEC members should no longer serve an office, that they should be voted out. If that were to happen, that would certainly diminish ALEC's influence. The corporations want to obviously continue their agenda even without ALEC, but ALEC sure makes it easy. It's one-stop shopping at these trips 3 times a year, often to fancy resorts in Arizona and other states where lawmakers are wined and dined. Corporations are footing the bill. Then they're voting as equals with these politicians from our state and other states. You know, that's a situation I think that is inherently corrupting. It breeds corruption. It's access to lawmakers that our constituents, our citizens will never have. We don't go on vacations with lawmakers. We don't foot the bill for their vacations. And that's because that's a form of influence peddling. I think it ought to be barred.
Ed in Shorewood is with us. Hello, Ed.
Hi. I just wanted to ask, I know that a while back there were a number of corporations that dropped out of ALEC under public pressure, and the organization took quite a financial hit from that. I'm wondering what we can do to apply pressure to the companies that remain in ALEC.
Well, I really appreciate that question. Just yesterday, Visa decided to leave ALEC, joining more than 50 other corporations that had publicly dropped their membership. And so there are online campaigns where citizens can go to raise their voice, tell corporations they want them out. We have a petition on our site at prwatch.org and on alecexposed.org to tell Google to get out of ALEC. We have a list of all the corporations that have been part of ALEC. That's on ALEC Exposed. Color of Change also has been reaching out and spearheading an effort to get corporations out of ALEC. They've helped spearhead this effort since the beginning of last year and beyond. And so there are a lot of ways people can express their views to corporations that they may have relationships with as shareholders or as consumers, as citizens who use these products to get them out. Huge corporations have dropped out of ALEC in the past year. GE, General Motors, Amazon, they've fled ALEC. And so we think that corporations shouldn't want to be associated with climate change denial. I think many of them left, as you said, because of the controversy over the Trayvon Martin shooting and that law that ALEC had ratified as a national model. ALEC had been behind pushing these restrictions to make it harder for Americans to vote. They've got a whole set of bills to undermine workers' rights, make it harder for people to unionize, really extraordinary measures that would radically change our country. And I think maybe some companies don't want to be associated with that agenda.
Let me go to Joe in Prairie du Chien before a break. Hi, Joe.
Hi. I find it really odd that the legislatures are subcontracting, in a sense, their legislative design to an outside firm. I find that's very strange. And I also find it disturbing the commitment that these legislators are making to this organization and like to Grover Norquist and the tax pledge that seem to preempt their oath of office to serve the people. And a question would be, does ALEC make any political contributions directly or to PACs? Because if so, I could see that being a real can of worms.
Well, I really appreciate your comment. I do think it's a form of outsourcing our democratic process, and I think it's, quite frankly, an immoral one. But on the issue of PACs, we have no evidence that ALEC has engaged in PAC activity. But we do know from the Guardian documents that ALEC has filed for and is intending to create a C4 organization. The C4 groups have been really become more notorious in these past few elections for their activities in elections, running so-called issue ads. As many of your listeners know, there's an ongoing second John Doe investigation that appears to be related to some of the activities of C4 groups in Wisconsin to influence the results of the elections or perhaps coordinate in doing so with candidates. And so the fact that ALEC wants to get into that field in part to, as it says, raise money and in part perhaps to mitigate from any potential IRS investigation into its undisclosed lobbying, I think it's very troubling.
We are talking with Lisa Graves. She is the executive director of the Center for Media and Democracy, talking about the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, which is meeting in Washington, D.C. this week for its States and Nation Policy Summit, discussing and crafting its legislative agenda for the coming year. We are talking about ALEC and what's on ALEC's agenda, legislative agenda, for 2014. So do you think ALEC has too much influence on legislative matters in this country, in this state? Do you have any questions or reactions to what's on ALEC's agenda? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is now 9 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Thursday, December 5th. We welcome your questions about ALEC, how it crafts model legislation for mainly Republican lawmakers to introduce in their state capitals, and your reaction to the issues that ALEC wants to pursue or wants pursued in the next year. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking with a guest who is monitoring ALEC. She is Lisa Graves, the Executive Director of the Center for Media and Democracy, and she, along with ALEC members, are out in Washington, D.C. this week for the States and Nation Policy Summit, being addressed by lots of national lawmakers as well. How big a deal is this this summit that's going on this week, Lisa?
Well, this summit typically is one of the ways that ALEC has helped set the legislative agenda for the coming year. As Mary Batory on our team in CMD has documented, when Scott Fitzgerald came out of the 2010 session for ALEC in D.C., he told some reporters that he'd never seen such excitement for so-called right-to-work legislation, legislation to really undermine the rights of workers to unionize and workers' rights. And lo and behold, in 2011 and 2012, we saw a surge in numerous provisions that were closely linked to ALEC, even echoing or identical to the ALEC agenda, trying to attack workers' rights in numerous ways. And so it really is an important way in which ALEC helps set the legislative agenda for the state. And that's one of the reasons why we're out here. That's one of the reasons why people like Chris Taylor in the Wisconsin State House have gone to prior ALEC meetings to try to shed light on what ALEC is up to, and Mark Pocan, of course. And it's one of the reasons why we are here, and numerous reporters and investigators and research groups are out here to try to find out what ALEC is up to and make sure people know what's happening and how ALEC operates.
Now, Mark Pocan, Representative Pocan, held a teleconference, news conference yesterday, and I understand that he was talking some about ALEC's upcoming legislative agenda and plans to further sabotage the Affordable Care Act. What is that all about?
Well, we were part of that press conference yesterday, and Mark Pocan and other representatives, Jan Schakowsky and Raul Grijalva, talked about ALEC's agenda, including its agenda on the ACA. One of the documents that we obtained through our research, Nick Sturgey on our research team, and an article written by Brennan Fisher, our general counsel, disclosed how ALEC was pushing for a new attack on the Affordable Care Act to basically decertify insurance companies who offer benefits under it. That document, out of an Ohio open records request, revealed that some of the ALEC legislators called that the nuclear option on the ACA, and some even had concerns that their benefactors in the insurance industry wouldn't like it if they actually were providing lawful benefits to Americans under the ACA, but they were punished, and basically that they could not offer insurance in the state if they were going to offer benefits through the ACA. That's an extraordinary attack on the rights of Americans to be covered under the ACA. If they have pre-existing conditions, they lose their job. The ACA has a number of provisions. There are certainly flaws in it, in its implementation. It has a number of provisions that are actually saving people's lives. And to say that insurance companies that provide access to it under the access to those provisions, those benefits, participate in those exchanges, would not be certified to offer insurance is really extreme.
So a caller wanted to know, does ALEC have federal influence too, or is this just for state legislators?
ALEC has extraordinary federal influence. The top two Republican leaders in the United States House of Representatives, John Boehner and Eric Cantor, are ALEC alums. They recently gave Eric Cantor their top award for advancing the ALEC agenda in the State House. and Alec has recently moved to create closer ties with the Republicans in the House and Senate. A number of Alec bills have also moved within Congress, so they have influence most definitely at the federal level.
Yeah. Before our news break, you were talking about how Alec is different than most other organizations. We had an emailer who thought that that Democrats probably got their ideas for legislation from groups like unions or environmental groups. You say that there is no other group that is set up quite like Alec, except perhaps one other that you are investigating. Can you tell us what that is all about?
Well, we've been trying to take a closer look at the Council of State Government because it appears that there is voting by corporations with lawmakers, whether they're Democratic or Republican. It appears to have a voting process like that, which we think is, you know, very contrary to the democratic process. But we haven't had a chance to look at their tax filings or other information about them to see whether they, like Alec, are not reporting actual lobbying to the state houses, you know, for asking for bills to be introduced or passed. We have been documenting. Besides that there are a number of state so-called think tanks that have appear to be engaged in lobbying and not reporting any lobbying. We recently issued a report that Rebecca Wilf spearheaded on our team. It was about what we called the think tanks. It's available at thinktanks.org and also on our site, in which we show how the Mackinac Institute in Michigan was credited with being the instrument that passed Right to Work in Wisconsin. And yet when we look at their 990 forms, they reported that they engaged in zero lobbying, just like Alec. Of course, Mackinac is part of Alec and is one of the leading special interest groups in that sense in Alec. The fact is there are a number of organizations in the country that do provide ideas for legislation. We just have not seen groups like Alec where they're engaging in such lobbying and not reporting it. A lot of groups in the country have actively report any lobbying they engage in. They comply with the IRS laws. Or they have a 501c4 where they engage in a specific percentage of lobbying, and they disclose that they do. And so what Alec has done is extraordinary. It's a charity. It's a corporate lobby masquerading as a charity. These corporations get a tax write-off for giving to Alec, in which Alec says it engages in zero lobbying. We think that that's deeply problematic. Marcus Owen says that it's a violation of both the civil and criminal tax laws. We think it should be investigated.
We have just a minute to go, less than a minute to go. What do you want listeners to take away from this conversation?
Well, I hope that they will keep reading about these issues, reach out, try to find out more. We've got more information on our site, prwatch.org and alecexposed.org. This is a crucial issue for our democracy. Corporations certainly are part of our country, part of our culture. I have a lot of products I like that corporations make. I just don't think they should have an equal say with my lawmakers. I don't think they should have an equal say with me. They shouldn't be able to vote, and they shouldn't be able to exert such extraordinary influence, not just on our elections, but on our public policy, unless they're disclosing that they are. Organizations like Alec really, and in fact, Alec is unique in that way, represents an institutionalization of corruption. I think we ought to do something about it. We ought to investigate them. We ought to hold them accountable. We shouldn't allow these trips and this lobbying to go unreported.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being with us. Lisa Graves is the Executive Director of the Center for Media and Democracy. This is the Ideas Network.